Well, I want to welcome you to the dead of winter. Whatever campus you're at, whatever device you're watching us on, my name is Ben, and we're in the middle of a series where we're really trying to look at what are some of those simple life principles that we can hold on to help us navigate the winters of our life. Those seasons where we feel a little meh, where we feel exhausted and stressed out, or just depressed today, doesn't mean it has to stay that way. In fact, the Bible teaches that we can experience newness, new life, fresh air, those things that our soul craves, especially when we're in the midst of one of those winters. This weekend, I've invited a friend of mine, Tim Butler, to come and talk about how to navigate the exhausted, burnt out, fatiguing, stressed out seasons of our life. And hopefully this is a step of hope and help, a practical step for you, especially those of you that are navigating one of those personal winters right now. And so I'm thrilled to be learning right alongside of you at all of our campus. Will you please put your hands together for Tim Butler?
Thank you. I appreciate that. I always feel so welcome when I come here. You always make me feel so welcome. Thanks for that. Unfortunately, it's the time of year where the weather is not very welcoming though, right? It's the time of year where I can't tell the difference between my skin color and the snow, because my name is not Tom Martin. I did not just come back from Aruba, so we all have different lives. But it's a tougher time of year. It's a tougher time of year to kind of keep plowing through, no pun intended. And you slid through this morning, which is great. But we're in a series where, you know what, we know winter's going to pass, but maybe our moods won't pass. Maybe we've been kind of stuck in this meh, as Ben was talking about. And so I want to kind of focus more on where we are now and give us maybe some tools to help us navigate that better. Because burnout doesn't just leave by itself. It has some intentionality, some motivation, some drive on our part, which, quite frankly, we don't feel like. That's the oxymoron there. So when you think of burned out, I think of sort of a bulb. You know, bulb's burned out, you change the bulb, you replace the bulb, you throw the bulb away. Well, that's hopefully not any one of us. We're not getting thrown away. But the energy is gone. It's left. And so we've lost our emotional energy. We're drained. We're spent. And there's varying degrees of burnout. From certainly on one end, there's sort of the, I need to be hospitalized. And on the other end, it's just, I'm just not myself. But it's more persistent. It keeps coming and it's consistent. It stays with me. It's like a regular thing that I've got now. And usually it doesn't happen to us as much physically because we figured out when we're tired, right? We take a rest, we sit down, we sleep. But emotionally, we don't always address that. And so we sort of evolve into the state of drained and we aren't fully aware of it because it kind of becomes our new normal. And it's not healthy. Several years ago, I was talking to Lee Powell. You remember him as the founding pastor of this church. And he and I would meet on a regular basis as a life coaching counselor. And I'm not telling anything out of school. He would freely talk about this. But we met, and one time we met, I remember saying, you know, Lee, he's kind of telling me his symptoms, telling him what he's going through. I said, man, you just sound burned out. You just sound like you're kind of got nothing left. And there is that state where you're just sort of like, I don't know. I don't have much in the tank. And so we put together some strategies, we put together some ideas, and he was able to kind of walk out of it, which was good. And then Tom Martin shared right before Christmas how he kind of hit the ceiling and he feels like, his life was affected on many fronts and stopped and maybe made some adjustments and kind of gave some intentionality to it. So it's common, it's normal, but it's not really healthy, to stay there. And it needs intentionality to climb out. So some of the signs of sort of classic burnout is kind of depression or irritability or, I don't know, lack of creativity, or you don't feel like going back to the job, whether you work in the home or out of the home. It doesn't necessarily mean you're doing anything wrong. Actually, quite the opposite. You're doing your job so well, you've given so much life that you don't really have much life left. Maybe you're still doing your work, you're still performing, but you're just not hitting the sweet spot. And your emotional stability needs some attention for you to be your best. And so some of the classic occupations that go along with this might be sort of the stay-at-home mom, which is really a challenging position. And I think of the single mommies who are trying to pull that off at the same time. You're giving a lot of life. You're giving a lot of life, and it's tough to recoup that. I think of nurses. I see a lot of nursing caregivers, those kind of folks, who give and give and give. Or doctors, or those in the ministry, or those in the mental health field. Certainly those first responders, police, firemen, those kind of folks, where you give life. Life comes from you. So it's more than just sort of I just did a job, but I gave while I did the job. Now, really, anything we do can have its potential for draining us. That's just a reality of life. Because we're not infinite. We actually are finite. We have limitations, but we don't always recognize those. But just in case you're tempted to recognize the person sitting next to you and say, hey, this really applies to you, I encourage you not to do that, because it's more for you and not for them. Each person needs to kind of hear on their own level, because sometimes if you tell somebody something, they tend to be defensive, like, no, I'm not. Don't tell me that. And maybe you're not in that space. Maybe you're feeling like this is a great time of life and you love winter. I love winter. I mean, I'm one of those odd people that loves winter, but I like the cold, I like the snow, but I got some issues, though. I don't like a dirty car all winter. Anybody else like me? I mean, I don't like the dirty car, but I got some issues. We can deal with that later. But so maybe you're in a good spot and your car's clean. And so that's great. Just put this away and we can, you know, maybe you can use it another time in your life. But several months ago, I came to a spot where I realized that, you know, I'm dancing on the edge of my emotional limits, and I think I'm burned out. Now, this is something that I work in the field all the time, and I recognize it in others, but wait, it's me? And I thought, yeah, you know what it is, you, Tim. You've got some burnout going on. And so God has this way of sort of moving me through life, and listening to his still, small voice, right, he kind of heads me in a different direction, and that's what God did. And depending on where you are in your spiritual journey, when I say things like hearing from God or the still small voice or seeing God move me, it might seem a little odd to you or a little foreign to you. And so you're in a great place. Cedar Creek is a great place to explore spirituality and figure out, you know, what's it all about? What's this stuff all about? And so maybe something will resonate with you as I talk today. But maybe you've been around the Bible for a while and you've understood some of the stories and the life of Jesus, and that's great. And I'm going to share some things today that might give you maybe a new application of an old story you might have heard. In Jesus' day, fishing was pretty common. It was something that the Sea of Galilee was right there, and it had sometimes had some different names. But Jesus was one time on the shore of the sea, and he was preaching. He was always sharing Christ, sharing his message of what he's doing here, the fact that he is the Son of God, and salvation message. And people were drawn to him so much that they would crush in on him because he wasn't using, you know, voice amplification. And so he ended up sort of backing up. And one day he found himself sort of like, you know, the water's right here and I'm getting pushed by this crowd back. And there was an empty boat where Simon and Andrew had been fishing and they were off here taking care of the nets. And so he backed up. He just got in the boat because I got nowhere to go. So he's back in the boat and he's sitting down, he's talking to the people, and that's where we pick up the story in Luke 5. When he had finished speaking to the people, he said to Simon, see, you know, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. He said, go back to where you just were in the deep waters and let down your nets again. And Simon answered, said, Master, we have worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets. He's like, dude, we have just come from there. We know that there's nothing out there. But because you told me to do it, I'll do it. When they did so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that the boats began to sink. I mean, this is an abundance. This is not just like, whoa, we hit a honey hole of fish. No, this is a miracle. This is God setting them up to win. So Simon and Andrew, been out all night. They're coming in from the boat. They fished at night because their nets were made out of linen. Today's nets are made out of nylon. So those linen nets were pretty thick and you could kind of see them too well. So at nighttime, some fish couldn't see them as well. So they'd fish all night and they'd been out there all night doing this thing and they're probably physically drained at the very least, but they're emotionally drained. I mean, there's like, they didn't go out there just to sit in the boat. I'm a fisherman. I love to fish, but I'm a once a year fisherman. I mean, I just do it once a year. I got this big trip I do. I love it. And, you know, it's great to fish, and, you know, oh, it's not about catching the fish, it's about fishing. No, it isn't. It's about catching fish. At some point, I got to catch fish. I got to get a fish on my hook, or in this case, in my net. And at some point, I'm burned out because my nets are empty. And Jesus is saying to these guys, I know your nets are empty. I know you're burned out. Get back in and do it again. Only this time, do it for me. Now, they knew Jesus, right? He hadn't called them, so they weren't following his life yet. And they probably knew of some of his power, but it was still kind of a faith mission for them. We'll do it for this guy. See, their actions are the same. Go do what I told you to do. I was just there. I know. Do it again. But he said, change your motivation, your inspiration. Change your goal. Change why you do what you do. And if you're taking notes, now's the time to kind of pull those things out. Jesus essentially said, change your attitude, and I'm going to display my power in your life. And the results were abundance. He said, change why you do what you do, and I will display my power in your life. Trust me with your future. Trust me when you've exhausted all your options. Does that sound familiar to anybody? I mean, who doesn't like to be in control of your life and to control the outcomes of your life? Who feels like they've tried that? And at some point, I'm exhausted. I ain't got nothing left. I don't know what else to do. I'm burned out with these kids around my feet all day. I can't make everyone happy anymore. I can't be everything to everyone all the time. I just can't do that anymore. I'm tired of working for the man. I feel like a failure. I'm burned out, whatever the phrase is that you might say. In my situation, I can't sit and listen to another life story. I mean, I sit and listen to depressed and divorced and codependent people all day long, and I do it because I like it, but come on, at some point, it drains the life from me. And I came to realize, you know what? My nets are empty. And maybe Jesus is saying to you, I want you to change your attitude and get back at it. I want you to do your work for me. Because maybe he's trying to remind you at the same time that, you know what, he's the one. God gives us the ability to live and to work. And we're not going to reach our fullest potential without him. We can't run on empty. We can't run on our own and hit the stride that God wants us to hit. God spoke to one of the pastors in the Bible, Paul, in a dream, and he said, you know, I'm going to show my power in your weakness. And so Paul concluded that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because God works through me when I'm at the end of my abilities. God now starts working through me. And Paul said also in Colossians, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Whatever you do, I want you to know that you do it for God. God gives you the strength to do it, so do it for God. And the outcome is then what God designed it to be. So make sure your work is God-centered, not man-centered, pride-centered, success-centered, money-centered, fill-in-the-blank-centered. He said, do it for me. But burnout is not this sort of one-size-fits-all. And so the road out of burnout is not a one-size-fits-all. And so I want to talk about another story when Jesus encountered some fishermen in a different example. But before I do that, let me give just a sidebar. I just want to give voice to maybe a small percentage of those of you who are listening to me that sometimes the burnout that I work with in my profession is better described as an abusive or toxic relationship, which isn't healthy and it isn't your fault. For instance, nurses are so good at what they do. Nurses are so good at giving and caregiving and sacrificial giving that it sets them up to be in a capacity to live with a selfish partner or an abusive patient. And then this thing goes wonky because they start taking advantage of them and they keep giving and they keep taking and they, you know where this is going. So pretty soon they have nothing left. And that burnout is not the kind that I'm talking about where, you know, just change your attitude and work harder. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying those are unique situations and hopefully nobody that I'm talking to right now that applies to, but experience has taught me that's not the case. Those are times to really create more boundaries for your life and create space from that person, from those people, to kind of build yourself up. And you really sometimes can't do that on your own. You need the help of a friend or somebody who can be outside your situation, speak into your life, or a professional or whatever, somebody who's outside looking in. They can help you with that. Sidebar. That was only a sidebar. So here's another time when Jesus is talking to fishermen. And this was all the way at the end of his life when he had already died and was crucified. And then he rose again, which is its whole flipped out story. And so he appeared to a few people just to kind of prove that, yeah, this is me. But he didn't have necessarily the crowds yet following him around because they thought he was dead. And so he's down by the water again. And this time no one's with him because, yeah, they don't expect to see him. And so he looks out and he sees some guys fishing again. And he knows that they have nothing. But as Ben said last week, we really need to understand sort of where we are in order for us to get better. And so Jesus calls out to him, and we're going to pick that up in John 21, verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. Now, whether he was too far away or whether he had sort of blinded their eyes, right, so they couldn't see him, I don't know. But they didn't know it was him. And he says, hey, friends, haven't you any fish? Like, dude, do you not want to ask that painful question? We've just been out here all night. And they said, no, we don't have any fish. He said, you know what? Throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you're going to find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Same thing. All night working, no results, done, finished, nets are empty, we're empty, we're exhausted. Well, this time they didn't know it was Jesus talking, which is kind of interesting, right? The first time they didn't know his potential power, but they found out. The second time they didn't know the person. Who was this guy talking to us? I mean, for all they knew, it was some, you know, catch fish quick scheme some guy was trying to sell them. Like, no, we've already been out there. We know what the right side, the left side, the front, and the back look like. But he told him to get back at it, only now I want you to change your actions, and I'm going to display my power in your life. See, this wasn't a time for an attitude change. This was a time to do something different. And of course it did, and the results, again, were abundance. And maybe you've been there. You ain't got nothing, right? You're drained. But then Jesus shows up and shows you new direction. And you might not know it's Jesus speaking to you because he's using, you don't see him, he's using people, he's using circumstances, he's using different things in your life. And like, this feels different though. This feels like it's speaking to me. Maybe today. Maybe he's working through me, through you. I don't know. This feels different. Because we can encounter the living God in so many unique ways. I mean, in the Bible, God even spoke through a donkey one time. So it doesn't happen all the time, but God can do what God wants to do. So maybe you've had time when God has worked through people in your life, through circumstances in your life, and he's directed you to do something different. Just different. I mean, maybe it's different with your vocational life. Maybe it's different with your emotional life or your financial life or your physical life or whatever. We're going to get back to that in a minute. But the question that I have to ask myself, and then we need to ask ourselves, is how well do we listen and follow when God is directing us to do something different? Are we good listeners? Let me give you a visual in this dead of winter to pull you out of the dead of winter. Here's a visual that I guarantee will make you feel warm and fuzzy. Orange construction barrels, right? We know this in Northwest Ohio. That's about a hot summer day. It's a hot August night. These are great summer times where I get to wait in line for 4 hours and everything's backed up, and I don't really like those things, but you're thinking of summer though, aren't you? But here's the deal with those barrels. They force us off our path into another direction. They take us off the where we were going, and they say, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, and eventually, 2 hours later, I might get back on the road again. But the reason I like those orange barrels is a couple things. One, they force us to focus, and then they force us to follow, which is a little bit like life, right? Sometimes we don't know what to do, and so we simply follow the next orange barrel. And Jesus says, throw your nets on the other side of the boat, metaphorically. Do something different, and you're going to find my abundance in that direction. I mentioned to you that several months ago, right, I was burned out, and I was at the end of my rope, and my nets were empty. And I started praying, you know, God, what are you doing? You've given me this job, but I feel like I can't do it anymore. And I felt like God was like leading me into another vocational direction in addition to continuing to do my life coaching and my counseling, that kind of thing. And I followed the orange barrels of life, and before I knew it, I was doing home construction. I'm working for Scott Paul, a good friend of mine, Paul Builders. I'm building houses. That's not me. I don't do construction. That's not my identity. That's not who I am. Unless God says, you know what? Go in a different direction. While you still do your regular job, so like a day or two a week, I'm doing something totally different. And it's bizarre. I mean, at first I struggled with an identity crisis. Like, who am I? Like, get over it, Butler, you'll be fine. But metaphorically, I kind of threw my net on the other side of the boat. And I found abundance. I mean, not in fish caught, but an emotional rejuvenation. And so I love just sort of painting a straight line in a quiet house where no one's talking to me. I love it. I can talk to myself. That's great. I'm just sitting there in solitude or pulling wire or hanging drywall. I'm not changing my career. I don't feel like God is calling me to become a professional carpenter. No problem if God called you. That's great. It's just not my calling. But for a season, God is saying, make a few changes in your life, Tim, and I'm going to use that to breathe life into you. And so I followed the orange barrels through circumstances and people, and I found abundance. So how do you know if your nets are empty? How do you know if you're burned out? How do you know if God is calling you to change your actions? Or is God calling change your attitude or something else? So I'm going to give us some survival tips. You know, sounds good for the winter. To think through, and really, no matter where you are in your life, these tips are just helpful for good living. Because the first tip relates to balance. You know what? Life is a balancing act. I need to balance well. Those fishing nets they use, those linen ones, they didn't use those things 24/7. They had to dry them. They had to mend them. They had to take them out of the water. They had to take care of those nets because those nets brought them their livelihood. What brings us our livelihood? Our bodies, our souls, our spirit. Living a balanced life is what brings us life. And so living an unbalanced life is where I get unbalanced, burned out of kilter. And so the importance is to balance. So I spend my days helping people with this, but unfortunately, most folks don't think of what does it really mean to live a balanced life. So I've got this chart I made up. I want you to take a look at it. And I want to overwhelm you completely from a couple standpoints. One, you probably can't read it. And two, it's like, what in the world? There's not that many pieces of my life. Yes, there are. And we're going to take some individual shots and get you some focus in on what some of the individual circles look like. But these are the different areas of your life, whether it's finances, it's recreation, it's friends, whether it's a physical, whatever it is. These are all parts of your life. Whether you like it or not, they're there. And you don't have to pay attention to them. But if you want to live a balanced life, you're going to focus on the icons. They're somewhat arbitrary. You can put your own in there. But on the big chart that I made up, the bullseye in the middle means I'm doing nothing for nobody, right? But as I start going out each one of those legs, I'm putting intentionality in each one of those parts of my life. And then I connect the dots and say, how balanced is my life? And you can download this. Go to my website there, tim-butler.com. It's in your notes or it's on the bottom of the slide as well. And you can download this. And you can print it off and use it as kind of a worksheet and identify on there, where are you in the different areas of your life? Meaning, how intentional am I in those different areas? You know, the old adage for the college kids is you know, you need to have good grades, you need to have good social life, you need to get good sleep, but you can probably just pick two of those. Well, reality is you got to pick all three, and reality is there's another seven more when you grow up and get out of college, because life is pretty complex. And the way to really handle life well is to balance all those things. And by default, we tend to be reactive. It's more of the tyranny of the urgent. I do what's right in front of me. What's right in front of me is my job. So I'll just invest everything with my job. I really am intentional in my life. I work hard, but I play hard. And I socialize hard. And I do all these different aspects of my life. I'm no hero. I just know that I need to work hard. And I'm still burned out. So this is not like the one size fits all, because I can still give away more life than I'm getting back in. So balance your life. And the second thing related to balance is the social connection, that life, you know, is built up in community. It's dark and cold out there. Don't go it alone. Have people with you. We are not created to live by ourselves. Have people with you that you can bounce ideas off of. They can speak into your life. We can get kind of myopic in our view sometimes and think, no, I'm right. Everything's just perfect until I realize, oh, it's really not that way. I need somebody else's opinion. And so other people in our life can provide support. They can provide comfort. They can provide direction. They just provide community. They just give us what God created us. We weren't created to be alone. We were designed for community and relationships. Cedar Creek is a huge place that's got tons of opportunity to connect with groups, small and large. You can go to their website, you can check with guest services, you can look in your notes, you can go on the app. I mean, anywhere you look, you're gonna find a way to connect. And if you're already connected, great. We're not trying to get you connected to our groups. It's just another vehicle for you, as long as you're connected to somebody. I keep men in my life very intentionally, because I'm trying to figure out what it means to be a man. I'm trying to grow up one of these days, and I keep guys in my life to help me with that. We're just created for that. But there's even some hard science that talks about the impact of relationships and stress reduction in our life and our body's physiological stress response. It goes on unknowingly in us. It's all helped with friends, with people that know us and we know them. We literally reduce our stress when we have healthy friends. And stress is a contributor to burnout, and so I literally help my burnout with my friends. It's funny how it works that way. And I literally, scientifically, medically, I boost my immune system. I don't get sick as often with friends. And I literally live longer. These are all things that happen as a result of community. So this isn't just like, you know, have a friend, hang out. No. It's necessary for your life. I spend time with people who share with me their stories, and they pour out their hearts, and they tell me what's going on. And I ask them at some point, who knows what I know? And they say, nobody. Really, nobody knows what I know now. No. Like, you don't have any friends. Well, I don't share that with them. So no friends know you well, no. So what happens is, not only is that incredibly lonely, and Ben's gonna be talking about that next weekend, but it also can lead you to this false belief that I'm the only one that is suffering like this. And that's just not the case. No matter what you're going through, I know, professional experience, others are suffering like that. But if I don't live in some sort of a community, if I don't live with some sort of relationship, if I'm not known and know others, then I'm really doing myself a disservice at the very least, and I'm kind of hurting myself by doing that. So balance your life, live in community, and the third thing has to do with fishing nets. Well, sort of, but not really. But yeah, fishing nets were created, and so were you, right? So maintain a relationship with your Creator. Now again, depending on where you are in your spiritual journey, that may seem a little odd to have a relationship with my Creator. Am I really created? I thought maybe I came from I don't know where. And so, yeah, we were created. And so I need to maintain a relationship. What does that look like? What does that sound like? Or maybe that's something that you have had good experience with, but maybe you've let it slip a little in your life. And so your relationship has gone maybe a little bit cold, which can contribute to burnout. But we didn't create ourselves. God did. The Bible uses the example of potter and clay, right? We're the clay, we're the lump of clay, and the potter, God, he molds us and continues to mold us and remold us, and sometimes he breaks us and then he remolds us again, and because that's the creator-created relationship. And so sometimes running on empty simply means I've left God out of my life, and I'm trying to run away without the potter, without the creator telling me where to go. And so I love the simplicity of this verse in Proverbs. I'm sure you might have read it before. Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding of a situation. In all your ways, submit to him and he'll make your paths eventually straight. I added the word eventually, but consistent with my comments. I'm going to trust in the Lord, and my path will be straight eventually, but it might be some curves. We know that in the meantime. But I'm still going to trust in the Lord. I have some really dear friends of mine who we support in full-time ministry. Right now they're in the Orient. And his line, their line, this is a family value. We're trusting God for. We're trusting God for finances, for relationships, for governmental relationships, for my belongings that haven't been shipped here yet, for logistics, for housing, all the stuff that they need, we're trusting God for. And I've watched God fill their nets, and I've watched their empty nets and then get filled. It's not like they've had this like one big luxury trip. No, they've had empty nets and the nets are full. Empty nets and nets are full. But the core value is they've always trusted God for. So our skills, our abilities, our opportunities, anything that comes our way is all a function of what has God put in our life. And praise God for that. Because without that, without God, we are tempted to, shall I say, worship our work, maybe? Because like we're spending so much time on it, we almost sort of worship it. And then we definitely find our identity from our work. So if we don't really know who we are, who God created us to be, and what God created us to do, then we'll sort of make it up on our own, and we're gonna do life on our own. But if we live in a relationship with the Creator, that means we first have to recognize this thing called sin, the sin issue, that keeps us separated from God. Through no fault of our own, we're born into a sin-filled world. Not our fault, but we were born into that. So we're all sinners by birth. But Jesus came in the form of a child that we celebrate over Christmas. And he lived his life, 33 years, spoke the message, crucified, died, rose again. We celebrate that during Easter. And during his life of public ministry, he made it plain that he was the Son of God with both words and miracles. And we saw a couple of those miracles this morning. But he made it plain that he came to pay the penalty for our sins through his death, through his resurrection, and allow us then a relationship with God our Father. See, God's holy, and we're sinners, and we can't connect with a holy God without Jesus bridging that gap, which then allows us to be in a relationship with our Creator. But that relationship, it needs time, it needs intentionality. It's not a box I check. Okay, I'm good to go. No, it's an investment. I'm going to focus on my relationship with God, follow the orange construction barrels, spend time with God, and say, okay, God, lead me through this zone, which may look a little troubled and dark and black, and I know what I'm doing at times. So God, lead me. John Newton, who's an Anglican clergyman, he said this, to know Jesus is the shortest description of true grace. To know him better is the surest mark of growth in grace. But to know him perfectly is eternal life. So how well do you know, how well do I know Jesus? I mean know Jesus, not know of Jesus, but know Jesus, because that relationship allows me to be connected to my Creator. And that relationship helps me to know what new direction is God calling me to. So I have good news. They tell me spring is coming. I don't know when. Could be 6 weeks, that little short fat animal, whatever told us it could be a while. Or it could be 6 months, I don't know. But it always comes. But in the meantime, right, winter's kind of hanging on, slip-sliding away. But what you really need to realize is God is wanting to create this masterpiece of his presence and his power in your life. He wants the credit. He wants the glory. He wants to fill your nets. But to do that, I need to stay in touch with him, because sometimes we've been out all night, we ain't got nothing. It was interesting that the fishermen weren't praying. God just showed up. I thought that was pretty neat. They didn't say, God, help us fill our nets. God, put some miracles. No, they're just living life, and God shows up. And so sometimes we just live life, and God shows up to present himself as a power and a presence in our life to work to other people. That is so cool. Because we were not created to be independent of God. Quite the opposite. God says, I want you to depend on me. But the funny thing is, God's not dependent on us to accomplish his purposes. He doesn't need us, but he wants us. He wants us. Our empty nets are kind of a sign of dying to self. My nets are empty. I got nothing. God shows up and says, let me fill your nets. Thank you, God. Because he uses us and he works through us. That death side of us, the empty net side of us, is what God says, I need you in that space, and then I'm going to work through you. I'm going to fill your nets. I'm going to help you find abundance. Let's pray together. Father God, this is your day. We are your people, and you work through us in some amazing ways. God, for reasons known only to you, you create these times when we are fishing all night long. We're catching nothing. So God, you don't prevent us from burnout. You provide full nets when we are burned out in your timing. And God, we work on different time zones and we are so uncomfortable with your timing, but that's called faith. And that faith is what you want us to have in you. Not in the provisions, not in the outcomes, but you want us just to fish and keep fishing. And in your time, God, you'll fill our nets. And so in this darker time of the year, we're reminded that we just got to kind of press through. God, this isn't about just holding our breath. This is about leaning into you and really understanding that everything comes from you. So God, we worship you. We praise you for your potential, for your power. Work in our lives. In Christ's name, amen.